our car in for a car service, and I don't know much about cars. Already Caleb knows a whole lot more about cars than I do. I don't even really know what they do in a service. I just know it's a good idea to have your car serviced reasonably regularly, because that's what someone told me. But I do know that one thing they do is something called a wheel alignment. It's part of any standard car service, and it's where the mechanics, they adjust the angles of the wheels so that they're set to the car maker's specifications, set to how they were when the vehicle was first made and left the factory. The purpose of a wheel alignment, why you get it done, is to reduce tyre wear and to make sure that your car travels straight and true rather than pulling to one side. Tyre wear leads to frequent replacement of your tyres, costing you more money, never a good thing. Vehicle pulling can cause irritation and fatigue, both of which are best avoided. So if you've got a car, it's good to get a wheel alignment fairly regularly. I think it's also good to get a life alignment fairly regularly. And isn't that what the Bible gives us? Reading the Bible, it's like getting a life alignment each and every time you read it. Because sometimes, just like a significant driving incident sets the wheels of your car off course, so a major life incident can set the wheels of your life off course. More regularly, though, more often, it's the drift over time in ways that you don't even pick up on when you're driving that make it important to have a wheel alignment. It's the drift and fade over time in life, the almost imperceptible and gradual pull to one side that makes it important to have a life alignment. And that's what we're hoping and praying will happen for all of us, myself included, over these next few weeks as we consider these various questions to do with what it means to be a disciple and what it means to make disciples. And the very first key question for us to think about, and we've already been thinking about it this morning and also together tonight, is why make disciples? It's fine, it's good, it's important to ask what and who and how and where, and we'll be thinking about those questions in the coming weeks. But all of those questions, they're really non-questions unless you can answer the why. Why make disciples? And it's the answer to that question, as we'll see, that'll probably require an alignment back to our Maker's specifications for each one of us, back to the way in which he's ordered and purposed and planned and set things up. And it's the answer, I'm hoping and praying, that will thrill and excite us to find out the other answers to the what and the who and the how and the where. And where I want us to take us to see the why make disciples, is to a passage that's just bursting with blessings. It's the passage that Nesta just read out for us, the first half of Ephesians chapter 1, and I'd encourage you to have it open in front of you if you haven't already. Paul writes in Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." It's a stunning statement to make, isn't it? And perhaps because he knows how much we struggle to grasp such a statement, Paul, he goes on to rattle off a few of those every spiritual blessings that we've been blessed with in Christ. So verse 4, "Chosen in him," that is in Christ, "before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight." Verse 5, "Predestined to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ." Verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood," Paul says, "the forgiveness of sins." Are you getting the message? Are you seeing what Paul wants you to see? Are you feeling what Paul wants you to feel? Yes, I really am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And it's amazing. It fills me with praise to God and his grace towards me. And then if that wasn't enough, we reach the climax of these blessings in verses 9 and 10, point 3 on your outline if you're following along. Yes, we're already there. The climax of this passage that's full, that's bursting with these already incredible blessings. And it's here that I want us to zoom in on and concentrate on for just a little while, because it's here that we get an answer to our key question for tonight: why make disciples? Have a look with me at what Paul says in verses 9 and 10. Starting from verse 9. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. All that is Christ, the one head. So what is the great end towards which God is moving everything? What are all of God's plans working towards? What lies at the heart and centre of all of God's purposes? What is God's ultimate goal? You see, the climax of this passage that's bursting with blessings, it's also the very same thing that is the climax of all things. The point to which God is taking all things, and that is to bring all things, to unite all things, to sum up all things in Christ. Whether people willingly bow the knee and confess with their mouth or unwillingly, that is where God is taking all things. To bring, to unite, to sum up all things in Christ. When will that happen? Paul says, when the times will have reached their fulfillment. That's what we're awaiting. That's what we're looking forward to. That is our hope, when this fullness of the times arrives. But the plan's in motion, isn't it? It's already underway. It's already happening. It's already moving towards that moment. And you know what God's like when he sets himself to something. And what's more, you know the plan. You know the goal if you are Christian. You know this great end. You know what is at the heart and centre of God's purposes. If you are in Christ, if you are the recipient of these every blessings in Christ, this is one of them. Because see verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he purposed in Christ. You see, that's one of the many, that's one of the every spiritual blessings that are given to all those who are in Christ. A Christian, chosen before the creation of the world, yes. Adopted as a son, a child, yes. Redeemed, forgiven, yes. And what's more, let in on God's secret, the mystery of God's will, once hidden, now revealed, his plans and purposes and goal for the end of all things. You see, it was just as much God's intention, his purpose, his good pleasure to adopt you as his child, verse 5, in accordance with his pleasure and will, as it was his intention, his purpose, to make known to you the mystery of this will, verse 9, according to his good pleasure. Same phrase. You see, the question we're left with by the end of this passage is, well, I'm going to ask it in a number of different ways, but it's really the one question. Is God's great end our great end, towards which everything is moving for us? Is that what all of our plans are working towards? Is that what lies at the heart and centre of all of our purposes? Is that our ultimate goal? The bringing of all things, the uniting of all things, the summing up of all things in Jesus Christ. Because that's exactly how it is for God. And that's exactly what he's made known to us, his people. You see, my hunch is that for you and for me, talk of a life alignment, it actually sounds a bit weak, actually. Isn't it more of a Copernican revolution? You know, the discovery, the shift from seeing the earth as being at the centre of the universe to the sun. And we would say sun as in S-O-N, Jesus at the centre of the universe. The one under whom God brings all things, unites all things, sums up all things. That's all I wanted to say, and I want you to spend some time thinking about that on your tables. And then I'll bring us together again to pray before we sing and close at the end. So you've got some questions there for you to think about and discuss on your tables in light of what we've just seen from God's Word. The first question is this: why is it important to have purpose in life? Just a general question. whether you might be a Christian or not, it's just an open question. Why is it important, do you think, to have purpose in life? And I'll give you a few minutes to talk about that on your tables. All right, you can bring your discussions from that first question to a close, and we'll move on to the second one. And that is, how would you describe the relationship between our purpose in life and the way we live our life? For example, our priorities, the way we spend our time, the way we use our money and possessions, etc. Don't think of this necessarily in terms of being a Christian. If you are Christian, that can come in the last question. Just think generally. How would you describe the relationship between our purpose in life and the way we live our life? I'll give you a little bit longer on that one to think and discuss.
Thank you.
You can bring those discussions to a close. Our last question tonight is seeking to be informed by God's word. So the question is, in what ways might God's great plan and purpose in Ephesians 1, 9-10 affect our plans, purposes, priorities, etc.? For example, in the home, in the workplace, at school or uni, at church, etc. In what ways might God's great plan and purpose in Ephesians 1, 9-10 affect our plans, purposes, priorities? Give you a few more minutes to talk about that together. All right, we'll bring those discussions to a close as well for now. Feel free to pick up on them afterwards. That's another way to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly over supper. So continue to talk about these things then. We're going to sing to close our time, and there'll be opportunity to give to the work of the gospel here and abroad if you're regular here. And then I'll close off at the end. Thanks, Ian.